Welcome to Hello Hydrogen, a podcast series by the Port of Rotterdam Authority about the world of hydrogen, which is coming to life in Rotterdam. In this second episode, I will dive into the world of electrolysis. Hydrogen is not something we dig up, like oil or gas, but something we have to produce. We do this via electrolysis. And to find out all about it, I'm talking to Afkanel Schipstra of Uniper and René van der Meer of the Poseidon Project. First, I'm talking to Afkanel Schipstra. She leads hydrogen business of the Benelux and the H2 Maasvlakte project at Uniper. H2 Maasvlakte is the electrolyzer Uniper intends to build on its existing site on the Maasvlakte. But before we dive into that, I ask Afkanel to explain how an electrolyzer works.
So an electrolyzer is a device that uses electricity to split water. Water is H2O.
Yeah.
So it splits it into hydrogen, H2, and oxygen, O2,
right.
Through a process called electrolysis. And the electrolyzer consists of electrodes immersed in water and an electrolyte solution. And when an electric current is passed through the electrodes, the water molecules are dissociated into hydrogen and oxygen gas.
All right, so the electrolyzer you're looking at on the Maasvlakte, can you tell us a bit more about that? What are the exact plans?
Yeah, we've got a beautiful location at the Maasvlakte, of course, I'm sure you'll agree with me, on the coast. And it's where our coal-fired power plant is located.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of space left, so we can easily develop a 500 megawatt electrolyzer there.
Yep.
It's a brownfield project, so that means that a lot of utilities and other things are present already. So we've got the cooling water, of course, from the sea.
Yeah.
There's also plenty of Daman water, demineralized water, that you will actually use to produce the hydrogen.
Yeah.
And we also have a grid connection available. So it's a very nice site. And of course, probably the most important thing is that you have the landing of the offshore wind.
Yep.
We have a TenneT substation next door.
Okay.
And that's where the offshore wind will come on shore.
Yeah. And then you take the electricity from there to use to power the electrolyzer.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. And you said it's going to be 500 megawatts.
So we'll start likely with 100 megawatts. Mm-hmm. So it's a stepwise approach.
Okay.
But we already did the permitting for 500 megawatts and we've just finished the FEED studies, the front end engineering and design studies.
Mm-hmm.
Also for 500 megawatts, so we can easily scale up.
Okay.
So in case of enough interest from the off-takers, we can also scale up to 200 megawatts or 300, up to 500 megawatts.
Okay.
And I told you we have the coal-fired power plant there.
Yep.
This will stop working in 2029. That's the law in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So all the coal-fired power plants will stop.
Yeah.
And that means that the coal yard will be removed and we can use that space also for another additional 700 megawatts.
Okay, so you're already looking to expand even further beyond 1 gigawatt.
Yeah, because I'm sure you'll agree with me, Rotterdam is a fantastic place to build electrolyzers because we have the landing of offshore wind. There's about 7.5 gigawatt plants in total. And of course, we have the industry here that uses hydrogen.
Yeah.
So the off-takers are here as well.
So will the plant then also be connected to the hydrogen backbone that's being developed at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking to High Network Services now.
Mm-hmm.
We have the connection study agreement under review. And we definitely want to be connected to the backbone, the hydrogen backbone.
And the hydrogen you're going to produce, what is it going to be used for?
You can use it for a lot of things. You alluded to a couple of them already. I think initially a big use will be hydrogen as feedstock in the chemical industry.
Mm-hmm.
For example, to make ammonia for fertilizers or to make methanol. You can also use it for high temperature processes. And this is where you wouldn't normally electrify the process. So perhaps it sounds strange coming from me, but if you can electrify a process, I would always choose that because that's much more efficient.
Yeah.
But there are some parts of the energy transition that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where hydrogen can play a good role.
Yeah. And which parts are that?
So it's indeed feedstock because you need the molecules.
Yeah.
Also in refinery processes, But also, for example, for heavy-duty mobility.
Okay.
So trucks or trains or even the maritime industry.
Yeah.
Because you can go much further with hydrogen than with an electric ship or car.
And when is the planning to for the plan to be operational?
Yeah, that really depends, of course, on a lot of things. But the planning for now is that we take a financial investment decision in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll become operational in 2030. So it would be September 26, operational in 2030.
Okay.
And that also has to do with the offshore wind that we contract.
Mm-hmm.
So the PPA that we will sign.
Yeah.
The power purchase agreement, because it depends on when the offshore wind park is ready.
And then you mentioned 2030, but the coal plant will close in 2029. So there will be a year overlap before everything is up and running for the electrolyzer.
Yeah, that's right. But it's a big site, so there are many different activities.
Mm-hmm.
On the site, we're also looking at, for example, building a power plant that uses natural gas, and that will be hydrogen ready,
mm-hmm.
So that we can use hydrogen in the future when green hydrogen is much more available.
Yeah.
So there are many activities on the site. We even have a whole team coordinating all those different activities.
Okay. So in the end, the coal plants will be gone entirely and then replaced with electrolyzer and the natural gas.
Yeah, plant. But the electrolyzer will be on a spot that is already available now.
The H2 Maasvlakte electrolyzer by Uniper will see a significant upscale in capacity over the years, starting at 100 megawatts and possibly increasing to 500 megawatts or even 1 gigawatt. And Uniper is working closely with a familiar partner in the phase leading up to the construction.
I thought it would be nice to mention that we're working very closely with the Port of Rotterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Also on thinking about our project and thinking about ideas for offtake, for example. So very recently, we've been put in touch with a maritime company that is interested in liquid hydrogen.
Okay.
So that's just a great collaboration. And I think in general, the energy transition sees much more of this, because nothing is completely sure yet. We still have to discover our ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's just much more collaboration than competition that you would have in the traditional energy.
You mentioned liquid hydrogen. Is that if they would need that, can you liquefy the hydrogen?
We would need a liquefaction plant for that.
Yeah.
So we're looking into that now. But it's an actual different plant that you would need to accomplish that.
You can't get it in a liquid form out of the electrolyzer.
No, that will be gaseous. So and then depending on the temperature or the pressure, you can liquefy it.
Yeah. We're shifting our focus from onshore electrolysis to offshore. Most electrolyzers are being built on land, but the Poseidon project is running a pilot on offshore production. To find out how this would work, I'm meeting up with René van der Meer, head of new energy at Neptune Energy and head of the Poseidon project. He explains what the project entails.
Poseidon is quite a unique project. It is about a 1 megawatt electrolyzer, which we put on one of our offshore facilities, which is called a Q13. And if you're standing on the beach of Scheveningen, you can actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing of this platform is when you're physically on the platform, you actually see three energy systems coming together. Because on one side, it's still conventional energy production from the underground, so in the form of oil and gas.
Yeah.
But you also see in the surroundings the wind turbines being built for Hollandse Kust Zuid. And bringing that all together in the form of offshore hydrogen production, you actually have the three energy systems together. And that's really unique for Poseidon.
Once the hydrogen is produced, how are you going to get it from the platform to the land?
Yeah, the electrolyzer is sitting on the platform indeed, and there the hydrogen will be produced. The hydrogen will be brought to shore in a commingled stream with the natural gas,
mm-hmm.
and at the end it will land on the Maasvlakte where it just disappears in the natural gas grid.
And what is the status of the project? Where are you now?
Yeah, we are currently in the final phase, I would say. So our partners in the Poseidon projects, for example, Hatenboer and Nel, they have started delivering their equipment, which will be assembled on the Investa premises of TAKA in Alkmaar, and that will be done in the coming months, actually.
Yeah.
And there we will connect it as such as it will be positioned on the offshore location. So we do ultimate testing and commissioning, and we will also produce hydrogen onshore. And at the point that we are fully confident on the installation and it works like we want to achieve in the ultimate case, then the whole installation will be disassembled and it will be sent offshore, where we reassemble it again, and then we start producing hydrogen probably before the end of the year.
Yeah. And how long will the pilot run when it's on the platform?
Yeah, officially during for the DAI Plus subsidy, because this this project was subsidized by means of DAI Plus, and we need to produce hydrogen for about a year, but yeah, we need to see how that actually works, and yeah, at some point in time you probably capture all the learnings, and but after the pilot the electrolyzer will be sent to shore again. And there it will have another duty as potentially a fuel station for hydrogen.
Okay. And once the pilot is over and you know all the learning, what is the next step then?
Yeah, the ultimate goal after Poseidon is to build upon that in a larger scale. So the government has set two demonstration projects in the market, or will do that in the future, which is Demo 1 and Demo 1 and Demo 2.
Yeah.
And this is about wind farms to be built off-grid. So these wind farms will produce hydrogen instead of electricity. And that's our ultimate goal. So together with our partner RWE, we have been in what we call the H2 op Zee project.
Yeah.
We've been doing that for 2 or 3 years already. And we really like to participate in the tender of the Demo 2, which is a 500 megawatt off-grid wind farm to be built in the Ten Noorden van de Wadden wind area.
All right.
So that's our ultimate goal, at least to target off-grid wind power production by means of existing infrastructure. And the rationale behind that is if we can reuse or repurpose this infrastructure, which is being used for decades for natural gas production, it could accelerate the energy production, the energy transition, but also keeps it affordable for the energy users in and around the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So reusing the existing infrastructure could really accelerate and keep the energy transition affordable. And other advantages is, we all have environmental sensitive areas, for example, like the Waddenzee. We have pipelines being built in the 70s, which could be utilized actually to host this tremendous amount of power in the form of molecules. So that prevents the Waddenzee to be crossed by means of power cables.
I see. And the tender you're talking about, when is that being being released?
That's not clear yet. I think the government is preparing for that tender, also what the tender criteria should be. So they do that very precautious, and that's all fine. So I see that, for example, via TNO information is being gathered. Recently, there was a market consultation which was on the public domain of the government. So I think that's a good preparation to work towards this tender. But when it will be on the market, we don't know yet.
How safe is hydrogen production offshore?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Of course, as oil and gas companies, safety is on top of our priority list.
Yeah.
So handling hydrocarbons offshore needs to be done in the safest way, and that also applies for hydrogen. Hydrogen is a flammable gas, just like natural gas, but on the other hand, it's not new. So if you see the amounts of hydrogen being produced in the Rotterdam area and being used in refineries, but also in food processing, it's not unique. But the combination of an offshore facility handling hydrogen, that's unique. So what we did in the form of Poseidon is we cross-checked all safety measures, procedures, certification. So we went through all the process of these safety elements. Mm-hmm. And so the offshore hydrogen production will meet the safety standards which we are used to for hydrocarbon production.
Yeah. As we know with electrolysis, there's a lot of byproducts such as oxygen and warmth. What are you going to do with that in Poseidon?
Yeah, that's a very good question. There are byproducts. Indeed, oxygen is one of those. So for the Poseidon project, those volumes are really, really limited. Mm-hmm. But for example, for Poseidon, we will vent the oxygen. But there are also ideas of disposing the oxygen into the seawater, because there it could have additional ecological benefits. For example, in the Baltic Sea, there has been a pilot where there's less oxygen in the seawater. And there they intend to dispose the oxygen to the seawater, mm-hmm. which could be having ecological benefits. Another byproduct indeed is heat, because electrolysis will generate about 30% of losses in the form of heat. It's a low temperature heat, but at hundreds of megawatt scale of wind farm, there will be quite a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. But this heat could, for example, be utilized for the seawater desalination, because you need ultra-pure water for your electrolysis process. And preheating the seawater actually helps in this case. So that's another utilization of the byproduct we intend to have and investigate as form of these pilot projects.
Yeah. What are the main benefits of offshore hydrogen production?
Yeah, the main benefit is actually that you convert from, let's say, the wind power into molecules as close to the energy source itself. Mm-hmm. We, as an offshore operator, we know that everything you can do onshore, you should do onshore. So historically, we also got questions for why do we do electrolysis offshore, while onshore is much easier. And we fully agree. So everything you could do onshore, you should do that. But if you ask about where the electricity needs to come from, then everybody's pointing to an offshore wind farm. And then the story is different, because if you need to build an entire electric infrastructure from offshore to shore and convert it there into molecules, then the story is different, because you need to build this whole new infrastructure. It comes at cost, but also takes time. Mm-hmm. And again, it's you need to cross sensitive areas again. So spatial planning is still an issue. And if you utilize just the system which is there, there will be less ecological pressure, but also you could accelerate the energy transition and keep it affordable.
Yeah. And countering that question, what are the main challenges at this point for Poseidon?
Yeah, the main challenges indeed of Poseidon is that it has never been done at scale. So offshore electrolysis comes with huge offshore installations. And that's the challenging part here. So we are working in close relationship with engineering companies, mm-hmm. how that could work, but also wind turbine manufacturers have ideas about that. And you see that all parties are seeking for the right solution. Yeah. And so it's a journey you do with the entire value chain in the industry. But that's the biggest challenge. So it has never been done before. It has never been done in combination with an oil and gas production. Mm-hmm. So it's the right mindset, but also level of education of people working with it. But also the safety standards needs to be met.
Yeah. So the it's never been done before. Does that mean this is the first ever offshore hydrogen production?
No, there is one offshore hydrogen production, also at minimum scale, and that's off the coast of Normandy. But the difference there is that this project is not on a live oil and gas platform, and the Poseidon project will be. So it will still be unique in the world.
In the next Hello Hydrogen.
What you currently see with the energy mix is that there's not one source of energy. There mm-hmm. are multiple of them, and it also changes on economical and technical and environmental factors.
Yeah.
And I think that also will be the case with the hydrogen carriers.
Thank you for listening to Hello Hydrogen. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. For more information on this podcast or hydrogen in the Port of Rotterdam, take a look at portofrotterdam.com/hydrogen.